My name is Nicole, and I serve on the steering committee. And this evening, I'll be talking to you ladies about the discipline of silence. Now, let me just make something clear before I go on. When I speak of silence tonight, I speak about silence or stillness in the presence of our King. I'm not talking about silence socially. Well, I'm a huge fan of being so to speak. However, I'm not really gifted in this area. In fact, I'm a huge, messy construction site when it comes to being so to speak. So I don't think anyone would ask me to teach on that subject. Now, you see, when I told my family and friends that I was going to speak about silence tonight, I seemed to receive one of two reactions. Now, the first reaction I received was laughter. Why laughter? Well, if you know me, you probably know two things about me. I love to eat, and I love to talk. I was that kid in school that got good grades for the most part, and I did pretty well. However, come parent-teacher conference time or report card time, my parents always got the same song and dance. Nicole is a good student, she gets good grades, but boy, can she talk. Yep, that's me. And the second reaction I got from people once they heard I was going to speak about silence tonight was, oddly enough, silence. Now, these were the people who were simply too kind to laugh, or they probably just laughed when I walked away. So, now that I've cleared that up, let's go ahead and open our Bibles to Psalm 46, 1 through 11. Now, as we read this psalm, throughout the whole psalm, you're going to see the word Selah. I Googled the word Selah, and the definition that I found was to pause and reflect, or pause and praise. I thought that was so appropriate for what we're about to dive into. So, Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, and a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed and the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake and with its swelling, Selah. There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, and she shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes the war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Let's go ahead and pray. Holy God, Father, we just come to you this evening, Lord. And we just ask you, Father, to please silence our minds and our hearts, Father. And I pray that we would hear what you have for us. I thank you for these beautiful ladies who have joined us, Lord, and who are eager to hear from you, Lord. And I pray that's exactly what they will hear, Father. Give us all ears to hear tonight, Father. And Lord, I just pray that you would empty me of me and fill me with you. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would fall upon this place. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Well, before I get started on my 3 points, let me share with you all on how I even discovered the beautiful discipline of silence. About 7 years ago or so, I struggled with a very dark time in my life. I struggled with a bout of depression. I was a very young wife and a mother of 3 daughters. And although I had these 3 amazing, beautiful, and healthy girls, I was also dealing with a difficult marriage, to say the least. I allowed fear to enter my life in a form that most, if not all, mothers can relate to. I began to have a deep fear of one of my children dying, and I bet all of you mothers out there can relate to this at some point or another. I had a week in my life where I came close to losing, or at least thinking I came close to losing, each of my girls. It started with our youngest daughter, Taya, who we almost lost due to suffocation in our very own bed that I brought her into in the middle of the night to nurse her. Against my husband's repeated requests not to do so, I felt entitled to bring her into our bed. After all, I was exhausted and I was the only one feeding her. Well, long story short, my husband, who is a very heavy sleeper, rolled over onto Taya in the middle of the night. Well, God is faithful. He audibly spoke to me in my sleep and told me, "Wake up, she's suffocating." I literally arose from my sleep in a panic, threw my husband off the bed to can you imagine his shock? To find our sweet girl lying in a pool of sweat. She was limp and lifeless. But praise God for waking me, and he woke me in time. Well, that same week, we almost lost our middle daughter, Michaela, in a drowning accident at a local pool. Again, praise the Lord that my husband found her before it was too late, and he had the wisdom to perform the Heimlich on her, which basically emptied her water-filled lungs. It was very difficult for me to face my own mother and tell her what had happened, because she knows firsthand the pain that comes with losing a child in a drowning accident. At the end of that same week, our oldest daughter, Janae, fainted out of nowhere, and she began to fight a series of fainting spells. Well, God has since healed her, praise the Lord. And to this day, despite the many tests, we have no idea what caused her to start fainting out of the blue. So, after facing these scary events in our family, I truly began to fear that God would allow one of my children to be taken in order for my unbelieving husband at that time to finally surrender his life to the Lord. However, God showed me, these are not my children, they are his, and he has simply loaned them to me. Well, this fear began to consume me to the point of desperation and complete and utter darkness. I can't describe this time in my life, ladies, as anything but darkness. Proverbs 12:25 says, "Anxiety in the heart of a man causes depression." And that's exactly where I was. So I decided to confide in a trio of friends that the Lord had placed in my life at that time. These amazing women were about a decade older than I, and they were full of godly wisdom and counsel. That said, ladies, be aware of whom you surround yourselves with, and pray that the Lord places God-fearing women in your lives, and pray that you too can be that woman to others. Well, one friend in particular, Astria, gave me some life-changing advice that gloomy evening in my life. Astria told me I should try something I had never tried before. She encouraged me to go home, get on my face, literally prostrate before the Almighty God, and to ask him to search me and to reveal himself to me. Well, being beyond desperate, I actually went home and did it. I laid down completely on my face and cried out to God. And guess what, ladies? I didn't hear anything. Well, not at first anyway, but about 15 to 20 minutes later, while I was still on my face, suddenly, out of nowhere, God gave me Nehemiah 8:10. Without warning, I spoke aloud unexpectedly, and I said, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." Just like that, I knew God had spoken his promise to me. I didn't even know what book or what verse this was, because it wasn't a scripture that I was very familiar with. I mean, I had heard it as a Sunday school song growing up, but I had never really heard it as an adult, and I certainly had never pondered it before. Now, I must be honest with you, ladies. I didn't feel instantly joyful. In fact, the joy took quite a while for me to even feel. But like all his promises, he kept it, and I clung to it like gold. That was the beginning of my strong desire and love for my literal quiet time before my Father, my King. Now, this brings us to my first point, which is tenhut, or attention. Attention is a command we've all heard a soldier yell out to his fellow comrades. This is something we need to be called to before we even attempt to enter a state of stillness. Ladies, we are commanded to be still and know he is God. God doesn't tell us, hey, if you get a moment today, do you think maybe we can spend some time together? It's not a suggestion. He commands us to be still. And this is something that Jesus himself practiced. We see him be still in Matthew 4. We read that Jesus spent 40 days and nights in the wilderness, being in solitude, fasting, and was even tempted. Another time we see Jesus be still is in the Garden of Gethsemane, before he was beaten and killed. Jesus sought his own Father during his trials, so why wouldn't we do the same? In Mark 6:31, Jesus encouraged his own disciples to seek solitude. And he said to them, come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. Sound familiar, ladies? Erwin Lutzer said, what a man is in the presence of God is all that he is and nothing more. Wow, let me read that again. What a man is in the presence of God is all that he is and nothing more. You often hear people say that they're afraid to be alone with themselves. However, the truth is we are never alone. Perhaps many of us are afraid to be alone with God. It is then that we can no longer put on our facades and our true character is revealed. Well, I decided to Google the word attention, and the definition I got was military terminology that basically instructed soldiers to hold a very strict formation as to maximize their combat effectiveness. Being at attention maximizes our combat effectiveness. So, how do we come to attention, ladies? Well, for me, this means separating myself from my chaotic day and literally caving myself up in my bedroom. Now, I try to do this before my kids come downstairs for breakfast. This tends to work well because my girls, like their mother, do not rise with the sun whatsoever. However, if my girls do come downstairs before I'm done and if my door is shut, they know that mommy is spending time with Jesus. So unless someone is bleeding or there is a fire, they know not to disturb me. However, if I am disturbed, I do try to respond in grace and kindness like we all should. However, really try to do my quiet time before the chaos and the drama of my children begin. This keeps me from sinning in my quiet time. What do I mean by that? Well, have any of you other out there experienced this? You're spending time with Jesus, and suddenly one kid is crying because the other is enjoying tormenting him or her. And as you're reading that love is patient and love is kind, you begin to feel your temperature rising. Then suddenly, you're ripping your door open and yelling out, "Mommy is trying to have her quiet time. Do you mind?" Then I walk back to my Bible and say, "Where were we, God?" Then bam, conviction, confession. And I'm having to ask not only God for forgiveness, but my girls for forgiveness as well for my outburst of rage. Yes, that is the reason I try to have my quiet time before my kids cause me to sin. Oh wait, before I cause myself to sin. It's so easy to blame shift, isn't it? So yes, we separate ourselves from all distractions, people, dishes, the phone, the computer, whatever it may be, you know what your distractions are. By completely isolating ourselves, we are able to focus on God better. Now, I'm not talking some new agey be one with the carpet kind of stuff, ladies. I'm talking about being able to focus solely on him. If you have a hard time waking up before your family, pray that the Lord wakes you or convicts you. I have prayed this many a times because I fail so often, and he is always quick to answer. Well, this means that sometimes I'm lying in my bed earlier than I like to be with my neighbor's dog barking and thinking, this isn't what I had in mind, God. But hey, it's answered prayer, right? So find that special time you want to spend with the Lord. For me, it's definitely on the beach with the waves crashing and the seagulls soaring above my head. However, God sees a desert fit for this girl. Plus, I have children and a husband and that whole responsibility thing. So my bedroom it is. And at least it has a door that can lock. If you're having a hard time blocking out the distractions around or within you, pray that God helps you to do so. Before I begin my quiet time, I often pray something that Samuel prayed when he was a child, and that is, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." Part of coming to attention for me personally is starting with prayer, reading my Bible, and praying again, then getting on my face or my knees and being still before him. I found by reading and praying first, it can prepare our hearts and our minds to receive what the Lord has for us. It can help us to gain focus and to calm us. Now, why on our face or our knees, you ask? Simply out of reverence and respect for the King above all kings. Would you stay lying down if someone you respected greatly was who was above you in leadership came into a room? Probably not. If a queen or the president came up to talk to you, would you just stay slouched over and say, "What's up?" Well, maybe you would. But how about if your boss walked into your office or your cubicle while you were on Facebook? Would you continue slacking off in their presence? Probably not. You might not have a job anymore. So, why would we treat God so casually? Now, I know that he's our daddy and our friend, but he's also our Lord and our Redeemer. And sure, I have my own casual times and talks with the Lord throughout the day. However, I also have my times where I must kneel or bow before his throne as his servant. Attention is the stance of highest priority for a soldier to be called to. It's usually done before a superior officer for the purpose of hearing that officer speak. While at attention, a soldier is required to maintain what is called military bearing, meaning you don't talk, flinch, or even look to the side, no matter what the distraction. When we think of the importance of revering the Lord during this time, we should think of Moses and the burning bush in Exodus 3. When Moses stood before the Lord told him to remove his sandals because the place he was standing was holy ground. Ladies, when you go before the Lord in this fashion, we are standing on literal holy ground. Maybe you have a grandparent or a friend that is so wise, and every time they choose to converse with you, all you can do is sit, listen, and soak it in. That's how we should feel with our Savior, our King. Proverbs 2:2 says, "Incline your ear to wisdom." Verse 6 goes on to say, "For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding." And ladies, how can we hear from the Lord if we're not quiet at least once a day? We need to hear from him so that we can fight this battle and fight it well. Well, I went to see the latest Karate Kid movie a couple of weeks ago with my oldest daughter and my friend and her daughter. Well, in that movie, Jackie Chan, who's the new Mr. Miyagi, said something that I thought summed up stillness before the Lord well. He said, "Being still and doing nothing are two completely different things." So, when you go before the Lord in this way, ladies, expect to hear from him. He's always faithful to reveal himself, whether through scripture, a hymn, or worship song, or even by revealing a sin we've yet to repent of. Well, that wraps up our first point. Find a place and a time for solitude. This brings us to our second point, which is marching orders. As I said earlier, usually my meeting place with the Lord is in my bedroom. I also like to take a few items with me as I have my meetings with the Lord. I like to take my Bible, a journal, a highlighter, and a pen. Now, I'm a visual type of gal, so I like my stuff to be pretty, and it gets me excited to use it during my visits with the Lord. So I brought along my own journal that my wonderful friends gave me on my birthday, and I love to use it because it's not only special, but it is pretty. And I also brought my pen, my peacock pen that I use as well. Now, ladies, I had to wait forever for this thing to go on sale at Anthropology, so I'm certainly going to use it. So like I said, we should have our pen, a highlighter, our Bible, and a journal so that we can write down that anything God tells us. In a battle, a field commander would change channels on his radio if it were receiving interference or if there were unnecessary chatter. in order to receive clear orders, maybe it's time to change your location or time of your own quiet time to also receive clear orders or block out that unnecessary chatter. We must have any instructions our commander gives us in order to go into the battlefield, right? So I encourage you to write them down. Plus, it's so wonderful to go back and read all the promises and words that he gave you at a later time. David is another person in the Bible that we read about spending time in solitude. He was in and out of caves as his own son sought to kill him. From that, we get some of the most amazing psalms. So ladies, write your own psalms, and you will see how faithful God really is. Matthew 11:15 says, "He who has ears, let him hear." Now, how can we hear if there is noise all around us? We live in such a busy and noisy society. People hate to be alone, and they hate to be silent. But rather than being forced into stillness, I encourage you to experience the beauty of it. If we are a children of God and we are all about us and our own agenda, or maybe we just don't want to obey and be still, he will, as he says in Psalm 23, make you to lie down in green pastures and lead you beside still waters. Well, if you're like me, you hate to be forced into anything, so try it voluntarily. Besides, green pastures and still waters kind of sounds like a vacation, right? Think of Saul of Tarsus, who was forced into stillness on his travels to Damascus. The Lord knocked him off his horse, spoke to him, and allowed him to be temporarily blind. Don't be knocked off your high horse, ladies. In fact, if you're on one now, get off immediately. If God was able to speak to Saul, who later became Paul in this way, pray for your own unbelieving loved ones to hear from God when they too are in solitude. I prayed for this for my husband for years, and once he came to the Lord, he told me of the numerous times God spoke to him in solitude. I was also reminded of Zechariah in Luke 1, when he too was forced into silence for his unbelief when the angel Gabriel brought him the good news of the Lord answering his prayer for a child. Zechariah was a mute the entire time his wife was pregnant with their son, John the Baptist. I can't even imagine being mute that long. I'm sure it would bring peace to my family and friends, but it really is a long time. The beautiful thing is that once Zechariah was able to speak again, he broke out into song, praising God. He didn't get his voice back and complain. How cool is it, though, that despite being forced into a time of solitude and silence, God still proved himself faithful, despite the unfaithfulness of us mere humans. There are times I'm forced into stillness many times, and there are times I do it voluntarily. And let me say, it's always more pleasant to obey the first time around. I just recently found out that the boot camp for the Marine Corps is a grueling 13 weeks long. Talk about discipline. Did you know that after their 13 weeks, they are required to take a 10 days leave? This is called mercy leave. God wants to bless us with rest, ladies. Yet another blessing that comes from being still. He wants to give us mercy leave. This wraps up our second point. Not only to be still, but be equipped with our Bibles, a pen, a highlighter, and a journal to receive your marching orders. Our third point is a phrase that we're all familiar with, and I think of some of my favorite war movies and the action-packed battle scenes that begin with this phrase, and that is charge. I was going to try this whole, like, charge thing, but I'm kind of not feeling it right now, so. After receiving our marching orders, we should be ready to face whatever it may be in full confidence in him. Isaiah 30:15 says, "For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest you shall be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength, but you would not." The NIV translates the "but you would not" into "but you would have none of it." You see, the the Lord God offered the people of Judah a precious gift, rest and strength. But the last part of this verse says, but you would not. The people of Judah chose to flee. Are you fleeing from his rest and strength? For me, after being in solitude with him, he is faithful to give me clarity and confidence that can only come from him. Moses is a great example of standing before the Lord in solitude and then, out of obedience, moving forward with what God spoke to him. It doesn't stop at just solitude. If he gives us orders, we have to move forward, ladies. Moses did what God told him to do, which was to go before the Pharaoh and demand that he set the Israelites free. This wasn't easy, and it was scary, but he did it. It was in solitude on Mount Sinai that the Lord gave Moses the Ten Commandments. Interestingly enough, Moses, like Jesus, spent 40 days and nights fasting and in solitude. Ladies, I'm reminded of something that Skip has said before, which is partial obedience is disobedience. I mentioned earlier that Jesus spent 40 days and nights before his Father. What I didn't realize up until recently is that after this particular time of solitude, Jesus went out and preached the good news. He even found his disciples after this 40 days of solitude. Perhaps we too can set out to do a great task, or maybe it's a task of simple obedience after we spent time alone with him. Like when Jesus, although asking the Lord to have the cup of death pass from him, still carried the cross to Golgotha to be crucified in obedience to God's will. There is such beauty and strength in silence, ladies. How easy is it for us to be busy bees, full of opinions and ready to check off every item on our to-do list? Now, how difficult is it for us to be quiet, die to ourselves, and wait on him? I know it's hard for me. A few weeks ago, my mom came to my house, and I asked her to pray for something that was really heavy on my heart. My mom reminded me of something that brought such great comfort to me at that time. She said, "Nicole, God is never late, but always on time." Now, let's ask ourselves this. What are our "but you would nots"? Is God telling you to trust him with an impossible situation, but you would not? Proverbs 3:5, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding." Is he telling you to get up earlier because you always sleep in and have to rush out of your house rather than spend time with him, but you would not? I've been there plenty of times. Then I'm having to settle by reading a Proverbs on my iPhone in the car, and that's not God's best for me, and it's not my best for him, and he certainly deserves the best. Or sometimes I have to skip my quiet time altogether because I choose to press that stinking snooze button 15 times in a row. Is God telling you to stay in a difficult marriage, but you want out no matter what the consequence? I encourage you to obey. There is not a marriage in this room that God cannot restore, ladies. He is God. Is God telling you to trust him with your child, but you would not? Trust him. Believe it or not, he loves that precious child so much more than you can ever imagine. Is God telling you to trust him with your finances? Whoa, right? You think this tanking economy is a shocker to God? No way. Is God telling you to submit to your husband in a certain area, but you would not? Is my husband in here real quick? Okay. Again, this is another area I'm not a pro in, but let me just tell you, if you submit, God will honor you and your marriage for your obedience, as long as it's within God's boundaries, of course. Is God telling you, "Not yet, my daughter"? Ask him to give you patience while you wait. His timing is perfect, ladies. Is God telling you to switch jobs, but you would not? Trust him. Is God telling you to trust him with your health? What about the health of a loved one? He is the ultimate physician, Jehovah Rapha, our healer. Trust him. Is God telling you to stop playing with fire? but you would not. You know what I'm talking about, ladies. You will get burned. Some of you out there right now may be in an adulterous relationship or contemplating it. Get out if you're in one and repent. And if you're considering committing adultery, consider the pain, the consequences, and how it would break God's heart, and also repent. He will forgive you. Is God telling you to forgive someone who has hurt you deeply, but you would not? Matthew 6:14-15. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Is God telling you not to be a warrior, but you would not? Matthew 6:34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow has enough worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Amen? Is he telling you to surrender your life to him once and for all, but you would not? Ladies, do not continue to reject Jesus Christ and risk eternal separation from God. Matthew 10:33 says, but whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. So, which class do you fall into, ladies? Are you a daughter who is still, or are you a daughter who is a would not? That wraps up our third point, which is not to just leave your time of solitude or stillness empty-handed, but to take what the Lord has revealed to you and act upon it. As we charge into the battlefield of life, ladies, be encouraged. Don't be afraid. Exodus 14:14 says, the Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Well, about a month ago, my husband Dominic and our oldest daughter Janae went on a mission trip to South Dakota with our mid-high youth group Velocity. A few days into their trip, Chug and Karen, who was a couple they were there to assist, awoke them for a big, hearty breakfast. And then they instructed the team to do something very unexpected. They insisted everyone take a nap. Well, strange as it sounded, the team did it, not realizing what a God-appointed rest time that really was. You see, something completely unexpected happened later that day. Well, unexpected to us, not to God. The weather took an unexpected twist, and they experienced at least 8 confirmed tornadoes throughout the night. The team, along with much of the city of Dupree, were evacuated to the courthouse, where they spent some of their time in a vault for protection. Well, during the tornadoes, the kids and leaders prayed, worshipped, and even witnessed to people, bringing someone to Christ. My husband was in and out of the vault helping people and, of course, taking videos and pictures, because that's what he does if you know him. Well, he told me that he saw 3 tornadoes circling the brick courthouse. And basically, they did this dance where they hopped over the building rather than going right through it. Now, they eventually did have to leave this courthouse because part of the roof was ripped off and water began to make its way in. However, my husband said that he was just blown away on how God spared him with the dancing tornadoes. I'd like to show you guys a quick video clip that my husband took during the tornadoes. I ask you guys just to continue to be quiet and to really watch this powerful video and really listen to the lyrics of the song. It's really beautiful. This is real footage taken of the various tornadoes, and at one point you can hear a warning siren. This warning siren is eerie, yet beautiful. Ladies, we too have warning sirens. We need only to listen for them. Here's the video.
When the storm is raging all around me, you are the peace that calms my troubled sea. When the cares of this world darken my day, the beauty of your majesty. On the cross you showed your love for me. Beautiful Lord, awesome and mighty, I'm captured by this love I see. Beautiful Lord, tender and holy, your mercy brings me to my knees. It's your mercy that has made me free. Beautiful Lord.
Of darkness, that he enriches of secret places, that he may know that I, Lord, will call you by your name, I'm the God of Israel.
On the cross you showed your love for me. Beautiful Lord.
Amen.
Awesome and mighty, I'm captured by this love.
Isn't it? I just have to say, the little girl with her hands up, that was my daughter. Gets me every time. Well, Dominic told me that the awesomeness of a tornado paralyzes you to the point where you can do nothing but stand in awe. Yet, ladies, God controls the weather. He controls those tornadoes, and he can even calm the sea. So how much more should we stand in awe of him? My husband also said that the team, something interesting about the team. He said had they not obeyed, ate up, and napped, they probably would have been in such a different state of mind due to hunger and exhaustion. So ladies, eat up God's word. Matthew 5:6 says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." And rest in him, rest with him. Maybe he's sending you the warning siren, And he just wants you to go into the safety vault and be still. Maybe you're watching, maybe you're in the eye of the storm right now. Or maybe you're watching it creep closer from a safe distance, but you're still very fearful. Either way, know that God is in control. And like the little boy Caleb said in the video from Isaiah 45:3, I am the Lord who calls you by name. I am the God of Israel. That is the God we serve, ladies, and he will protect his sheep. He longs to spend time with his daughters. So ladies, be still and know without a doubt, he is the one true God. And if God is for us, who can be against us? Let's pray. Beautiful Lord, you are in control of our lives, of everything that happens, Father. And Father, I pray that these women can go home and that they would learn what stillness is for them between you and them, Lord. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that even if we're in the midst of the storm, that Father, you know what's going to happen and you're there with us, Lord. And I pray for the ladies who are brokenhearted and struggling tonight, Lord, that they will know that you are the ultimate healer. And Lord, we just thank you for speaking to us and for giving us your word and for allowing us time of rest and strength. In Jesus' name, amen.
Didn't Nicole do a great job? Well, I think over the past few weeks, we've sort of discovered some of the tornadoes in our lives, repented of some of those, and over the last week, we did the discipline of meditation, and this week, the discipline of solitude, and I wanted to teach you one more tool to put in your tool belt. And I love this quote from that book we've all been reading, is Richard J. Foster, The Celebration of Discipline. And it says, inward solitude has outward manifestations. There's the freedom to be alone, not in order to be away from people, but in order to hear the divine whisper better. And so I wanted us to just spend a little bit of time listening to the divine whisper. And part of it is I want you to be able to use your imaginations, and not in like a weird way, like the vain imaginations that people can get into, but the imagination that God has given you, that you can see him and touch him, and that he's given you your imagination and your creativity for a reason. Because I think he wants to, I think that a lot of things have been stirred up in you these last few weeks, but I think he wants to give you peace. I really believe that the Lord, you know, the calm after the storm, I really believe that the Lord wants to give you peace, that you have done some really hard internal work through this summer boot camp, and that the Lord wants to give you peace. And so I wanted to teach you this method that you can do. I had a crisis like last week, and so this is what I do. I mean, this is just one of the tools in my tool belt. My daughter called, and she needed to come home because she was having a problem at school and with her boyfriend, and she just was like called with, you know, and so I couldn't sleep one night, and this is what I do. It's where you emphasize one word of a scripture and take each word and emphasize each word differently. So I'm going to take you through John 14:27, and I want to teach you how to emphasize each word in order and also to use your imagination. So if you'll just kind of go along with this in silence and also in meditation. And I think that this will help give you peace. So when the tornadoes come, when those storms come, even tonight, maybe you are one of those, but you would not. And the Lord convicted you of that. And you kind of confessed that to him as Nicole was going through that list. Or maybe when she was speaking of those fears and you said, oh, I am afraid. I have that fear. Well, now the Lord wants to give you his peace. So I just kind of wanted to walk through this tool with you. So the scripture just says simply, my peace I give to you. And I just want to emphasize each of the words differently. First, my peace. I give to you. So just think, my peace I give to you. Try to imagine Jesus. It's the personal pronoun for Jesus. My peace I give to you. Try to imagine him as John describes him in the book of Revelation. It says, I saw seven golden lampstands. This is the only description of Jesus. Just picture this in your minds. And in the midst of seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet and girded about the chest with a golden band. Just sit here and think about Jesus, girded with a golden band. His head and hair were white like wool. Can you see him? As white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars. My peace I give to you. This is the man who can hold seven stars in his hand. Out of his mouth went a sharp, two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, do not be afraid. He's not fearful, this my peace I give to you. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Picture, my peace I give to you. That's who wants to give you peace. Wow. Selah. And then you can emphasize the next word, my peace I give to you. Well, what is peace? Peace is the absence of conflict, but it's also the presence of God. My peace. Just imagine God being with you. Just feel him with you. Wherever two or more are gathered, he is there. My peace I give to you. My shalom I give to you. Whatever peace is to you, is it snow falling? Is it a baby sleeping? Peace like a river? Just for a second, picture peace. My peace I give to you. And the text says, my peace I give to you. Again, the personal pronoun. What are all the I's of Jesus? I am the living word. I am the bread of life. I am the bright and morning star. Picture those things in your head. Who is Jesus? I am the good shepherd. Do you need a shepherd? I am the bridegroom. My peace I give to you. Just picture the I am that I am. Picture that for just a minute. My peace I give. I give to you. Picture his nail-scarred hands. He's giving his peace to you. You know, he paid for it. He's not loaning it to you. He's not selling it to you. It's a gift. Maybe it looks like a Tiffany blue box to you. Maybe it's a big old gift. Whatever the perfect gift is to you, that's what he's giving. My peace, I give. It's unconditional if you accept it from him. Just picture the perfect gift being given to you. My peace I give to. This is directed. This is like a laser. Maybe it's like medicine. He's giving you peace like medicine, maybe like an injection. He's giving it to you. He's not giving it above you. He's not giving it behind you. He's not giving it around you. Picture his peace coming right at you. Just picture that for a minute. My peace I give to you. And finally, my peace I give to you. This is personal. This isn't generic peace. My peace I give to Nicole and Larissa and to Penny and Christy and Misty. Fill in your name. My peace I give to you. And you know what? He created you before the foundation of the world. He knew every single thing you would ever do, every thought you would ever think, every word you would ever speak, every action you would ever take. And yet he says, my peace I give to you. Now picture yourself receiving this gift of peace. My peace I give to you. That's the gift he wants to give to you tonight. And as you sit there in stillness, just ponder that gift of peace. Lord, we're unworthy of this gift of peace, and yet you are the Prince of Peace. And your death brought that peace to us, and so we freely accept that gift. We thank you for the gift of peace. We ask that we could go out in peace. Lord, teach us silence, that we might listen to you, that we might hear the quiet whisper of who you are. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.